Yes, people, we are back live. We are back live on the Sarcasm City TV YouTube for another edition of the Man United podcast, the podcast dedicated to all things Manchester United. So please keep all your comments, all your questions Manchester United related, please, people. Would De Zerbi be the right next manager for Manchester United? That's, would he be the right guy? Is he the right man to take us forward from the season 2024-25? Because he has been linked heavily with Manchester United, amongst others as well. We've been linked with Graham Potter. We've been linked with Hansi Flick, Nagelsmann, Inzaghi, Zidane. The list goes on, and that list will continue to get longer in typical Manchester United fashion as well. Of course, the Everton game as well, we'll be discussing that. Manchester United won, but a poor performance. Casemiro's form, we're discussing that. Is the criticism justified? Is it over the top? Plus, answering more questions from the chat as well. But make sure you run up the likes. First and foremost, hit the like button on the video. Please make sure you do that. Share this across all of the socials as well. As that's me, Flawless, at Sarcasm City TV. Like, hit that like button. Like, check 1212. Make sure you share across all the socials. And just as important, subscribe to the channel, Sarcasm City TV, because it is road to 10K, people. We are closing in on 10,000 subscribers. We are currently, let me double check right now. We are definitely not far off. I'll let you know how close we are. We are double digits away, people. I'm just going to let you know the exact number in a second. Right, 9,981. So we are 19 subscribers away from 10,000 subscribers, people. So make sure you hit the subscribe button as well. And like I said, keep all your comments, questions, Manchester United related. I have some of the gang in the building. I don't know, this show's normally on a Tuesday, but I put it on a Monday because we're doing back again tomorrow. So the fan calling show got moved to Wednesday, people. But don't worry, you will get Talk Your Ish as well. But we got some of the man them in the building. Leon is in the building. Eddie is in the building. What are you, man, telling me, man? You bless.
What's good? We're blessed, man. We're blessed. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Man can hear you. Man can hear you.
Cool. Yeah, calm, man. Just here, man. Just been digesting the weekend's performance. And yeah, man, just a busy weekend. And we're back.
Yeah, but causing trouble in comment sections as always, man. You're such a troublemaker. I see you inside each chat.
Oh, really? Joke. That's right. Yeah. I see you a little bit down, so I thought I'd bring the mood up a bit, but it is what it is, isn't it? It's shit, yeah. Right now, isn't it? So we're just debating shit.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, man. Eddie, you good?
It is.
And of course, I'm good. I finally made it out of that coma that United put me in. I was fighting it. I tried to stay awake, but the motherfuckers put me to sleep. Like, I can't even front, dog. I was knocked out for 2 days after that performance. So I'm up now. You know, seeing the sun is a good thing. I've been talking to, you know, my doctor. They say it shouldn't happen again unless I watch them again. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But everything's blessed.
There you go, people. United putting Eddie to sleep. And that's happened 3 or 4 times now. Big up to my guy Eli in the chat. Big up to Trigger in the chat. Says big up Flawless and everyone else. Danish Maldidi, good to see you in the chat. Says big up. 10K by the end of the week. Oh, definitely. We're going to get there today, tomorrow. Like, we definitely going to get there. Hopefully during Arsenal losing. Once we're recapping Arsenal going out of the Champions League. Big up to King as well every single time. Eli, I see you. So salute to Flawless and the panel and the chat. Happy not to be at work and enjoying this from home. Big up to you every single time, man. Real one, Eli, as always. Big up to, as well, Fox Williams in the chat as well. Dominic, good to see you. Classified as well. So good to see the regulars and some new names and new faces as well. But yeah, man, we'll start with the title, people. De Zerbi, will he be the right next manager for Manchester United? Eddie, we'll go to you. Thoughts on it? I know we've discussed this like briefly and in passing at times, but I wanted to discuss it a little bit more in detail and have, because he is the name that has been prominent being linked to Manchester United. So yeah, your thoughts on it?
It's such a tough question, because in trying to find the balance of what Manchester United's next manager should look like, it's tough to see him fit in that sense, because again, I'm tired of us, the last two managers we've had, getting these managers to kind of figure out how pressure packed this situation is on the fly.
Yeah,
I think from reading Ollie and how what he was putting out there in his interview, you could tell that he was in way over his head. decisions on a person-to-person level to managing on the field. Like, it was just – it was too much for him. And then now looking at Ten Hag, this brother, I don't know what the hell happened to him, man. I don't know what he's been sipping on, but he needs to stop.
Who's this?
Because
Ten Hag – wait, who do you think about Ten Hag? Okay, go on, carry on.
Yeah, bro, he just – he sounds drugged. He sounds drugged every time he comes out on this press conference.
He's sipping that codeine, man. He's on that codeine bottle, man.
That, yeah, he on that good cushion alcohol. Like, come on, man. You got to get right. Get right with yourself. Get right with God. God damn, bro. You out here tripping every Sunday morning for me. I
get right with yourself. Get right with God. That's crazy.
I'm telling you. That's crazy. Find something to find peace in, because if you just keep lying to yourself like this, that, oh, you know what? If you look at the expected goals, you know, you can not nearly see the whole game and shit like that. Just stuttering like I was at the press conference. Like, fuck, get out of here, bro. So with the Zerbis, I've kind of seen like he's a bit too erratic for me for the pressures of United to be where he really makes his name. But at the same time, his football is the kind of football that we're willing to see. Now, do I think you can play that football with the type of players he'll have at his disposal right away? Absolutely not. But I think he'll do a better job of forming an identity with these players than Ten Hag ever has in the time that he's been here. I think Zerbi's just that demanding of a tactician. You can just kind of see that he plays no nonsense when it comes to his football. That he wouldn't allow himself to look as bad as Ten Hag has allowed himself to look. So, in the grand scheme of things, I wouldn't be mad, but he wouldn't be my first choice. I know it's kind of playing the fence, but I just think that, again, we need somebody who's Teflon, like who'd have been through some bullshit and stepped out of it with his head up and his chest high. Like, too many dudes have crumbled these past couple years of dealing with these managers. Like, I just need somebody who I feel is headstrong, and yeah, I'm not too sure about him, but there's like only about three managers in the world who I'd be sure of if they came into this job would understand what it entails. So I'm cool on De Zerbi, but if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. And who's the two managers that you would say would be okay, who could deal with the pressure and the situation of being at Manchester United?
They're not pulling up, but it's definitely like Ancelotti is definitely a Simeone type. Like, those are two, I know for sure. Just because their ego won't allow this whole situation to make them crumble.
Got you.
Like,
got you.
They built themselves up enough to be concrete in who they are that a challenge like this wouldn't be too much for them.
I hear that. I fully hear what you're saying. We got Sheik in the building as well. Yeah, Sheik, what are you telling me?
Big up, man. Hope everyone's doing good. Just woke up, to be honest. So apologies for my lateness, but
that's all good, fam. You know what I'm saying? You're here. That's all that matters, man. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, make sure you subscribe to Sheik TV as well. And I've seen some of the comments in regards to De Zerbi. I'll get to them. Continue to get your questions in, even outside of the De Zerbi topic. I will start them and I will get to the better questions. And of course, if you super chat, we'll make sure we get to your question in detail as well. Leon, what are you saying, though, in regards to De Zerbi, if he was to be the manager at the start of next season?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I think...
Okay.
I'm not opposed to any man right now. We're just, the manager's rubbish, isn't it? But
you're just like, get anybody and anybody else. Yeah, is that where you're at?
Gary O'Neill would do a better job than Ten Hag. I told man already, innit?
Like, oh yeah, Eli about to pop up because he's Gary O'Neill fan club, but go on.
Big up Eli, man, my guy. Yeah. But big up Steffi in the chat as well.
Yes, big up Steffi DG.
Yeah, I think depends what your expectation is. I think there's no harm. We need to get out of the mindset of like trying to find the perfect manager. We just need to try. Like, I would rather turn around to you and say, depends on what style of football we're trying to play, what our identity is as a club. That comes first before the manager. So obviously, are these credible links? Are they just, we're linked with a different person every week. So is it credible? Is it not? It's true, okay. Because obviously the Potter
one. No, that's true in regards to no, like you're saying we get linked to a new manager every week, and that's gonna be how it's been so far. And if results continue or performances continue, it's going to carry on 1,000%.
And it's good for the managers that are linked to us because it raises their profile as soon as they're linked with us. So they're in a win-win situation. I think, to be honest with you, it's a big up. I need to say big up Sheik then, but he's here. I'm used to seeing him in the chat, innit? So I'm
big up Sheik though, anyway,
big
man.
Up Sheik, though, big up Sheik. Real King TV, TW, saying yeah, big, I agree with you. Big up King. Would do a better job. I think just need... I'm not really invested in, like, the project, his style of play. Would he be able to handle the pressure? All of that sort of thing. They are valid points. At the end of the day, Man United is a different weight on your shoulders. But I think we just need somebody who can begin the clear out, who can begin bringing better football to the club, who can begin that process. Because we might turn around in 3 years' time or 2 years' time and say, it took us the first two guys. He lasted 8 months. Another guy has lasted a year. And now we've got a guy that has taken us consistent into the top four or top three. So I think it's just the mindset of change is a good thing at the moment at United, because everybody's just been like, oh no, we can't keep sacking managers. Why not?
Yeah, that's foolish.
You're not met. Like, why not?
It's foolish. So, can't keep sacking
would managers. Would Deserbi do a good thing? I think he would probably bring in some good players that even if he left would probably stay with us. I think we'd argue with that with Brighton, that if he left Brighton now, there'd be 3, 4, 5 good players there that a lot of managers could manage. So I'm not opposed to it at all. The only thing that's in the back of my mind is when he's under pressure, can he handle it when he's losing games and stuff? I don't know the specific details of why he's losing games at Brighton, because the expectation of Brighton is...
I think it's a mix of things. I think
it is. Where are they in the table? Because if he's lost a few games, but they're still like eighth, and that...
Yeah, they're still like eighth. Yeah. Brighton are still like eighth, but their form has been awful.
Man. That's calm.
Brighton fans complaining, if they are indeed complaining, because I'm not sure, is crazy, but their performances in the league are unacceptable. Like, they are currently eighth, but imagine where they'd be if they won a couple more, because they're only 5 points above us. We're only 5 points above them. But yeah,
I think the way the league is at the moment is fluctuating a lot. So I think at the end of the day...
Yeah, because they got some very good wins and then they got some bad, bad, bad defeats. But carry on.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, it's just... We're so low right now. The standards are so low. The fans have accepted such a low standard as well. Yeah, there's not a lot that managers can do wrong. And I think... I'm just trying to give you an insight to my mindset. I'm just not of the mindset of he's definitely not the guy. I've looked into it. He's not going to be able to do this. He can't do that. Like right now, we're not doing the basics. So even if somebody comes in and does the basics, then we can elevate from the basics. So I think at the end of the day, it's like the Luton manager could come in and do the basics in this squad. This is where we are right now. Like, and the league is wide open. Like, I know people are like shamelessly saying, "Oh, we might make top five." I never thought I'd watch United. People are like, "Oh, we can make the top five." Like, I'm not even interested. Like, we don't deserve to be in Champions League right now. What are we going to do in the Champions League?
Hey, that's where I'm at with it. Yeah, you preach it to the choir.
So I think I'm not opposed to it, but I do obviously hear when people are saying, can he handle the pressure and stuff? And we'll just find out. Like, why do we have to bring him in and sign him on a 4-year deal? Just put him on like 2 years and then the option that we can get rid of it any time or something, or 1 year. Like, I'm cool with managers doing a year. I know it's unheard, but I'm cool with just come and see what you can apply and then go from there. If we were getting similar, if we were at a similar point in the table right now, we had a better goal difference, but we were like, do you know what? Sometimes we play wicked. Sometimes we actually go for it and stuff like that. I could take that right now.
We actually play better football.
I could take that. I could take that, but it's that Everton game along with 30 other games that I've seen or 40 other games that I've seen are just, they're just not there in it. So F this program, just switch it up.
Like, fam, I've never tapped out of a game during the Ollie years. I tapped out at least twice with this dude just because it's like I don't see anything worth watching. And I don't see any type of improvement coming through in the future with this dude still being here. So it's kind of like,
Eddie, you don't see anything you can invest your time or want to invest your time into.
Exactly. Oh, facts. Exactly. That's facts. hopeless. I'm just hopeless with them. I'm completely hopeless, and I'm just waiting for the summer at this
point. I'm not even out here singing Twister Hopeful. I'm not even and the Coach Carter, I'm not even there. I'm not even like, I've seen a bit. Like, I ain't hopeful for shit. Do you know what I mean?
Nothing. Not a damn thing, man. It's crazy. It's actually crazy.
It just took out, like, there's still 10 games to go, and I'm just still like, yo, it just end the season.
I was done in, like, December.
Yeah. Like, once I hit acceptance stage of the five stages of grief, and I was like, we're not going to get any better. This manager's dinnered. Word to Rhino. This team is dinnered. Half the fan base is dinnered. And you know how I know how bad it is? Because no longer now, since these past couple defeats, so the City game, the Fulham game, this the Ten Hag is so much more quiet. There's still the odd one on, like, social media, and you get the odd big account, like a big content creator who will say it, but, like, it's dead. Like, I don't see it anymore. I've not seen it for the past 3-4 weeks. There's not one person who's popped up in the chat like, oh, you lot need to back Ten Hag. Even they can see where to say the curtains on the wall. Same with players as well. Like, the likes of Bruno, I don't see no Bruno backers no more. Same with Rashford. Garnacho, there's still a few out there. But obviously, he's got the age factor on his side. But other than that, I don't see it anymore whatsoever. And in regards to the Zerbi, there is positives because, let's not get mistaken, plays great football at Brighton. And I believe if he came to Manchester United, he plays great football. But that's one thing you have to get rid of. It's not accepted to play great. People will say, oh, I just want Manchester United to play great football, forget results. That sounds fantastic in theory, until we're playing fantastic football and we've won 2 games in 2 months. And the fan base is up in arms and yard. That's not accepted here. Like, let's just clarify that, people. Yeah, go on, Eddie. Go on.
Can you think of a situation where that was the case? That, like,
what, where he wins 2 games in 2 months?
Yeah, and you're playing that brand of football?
No, because we've never had, I'm trying to think, a manager that, you know,
anybody in general. Like,
not playing. What I'd say is, we talk about, even though it wasn't entertaining, Van Gaal had a clear style. And we wanted him out because we wasn't winning games. But his style was there. It's just that we couldn't score goals. But the style was clear. The results were not so good. And even actually the results weren't that bad. We just didn't score goals like that. It was just a lot of draws and a lot of, like, nil-nils, 1-1s. And it was a lot of possession for possession's sake. And obviously De Zerbi would be much more, his football would be much more entertaining, but winning matters here. Winning football matches. Let's say, for instance, forget two games. Let's say he wins 4 games in 2 months. That is not acceptable here. Like, you can't have a drop-off. Like, for instance, well, look at it. Rashford had a good season last season in terms of goals and assists. So did Matoma. Matoma's fallen off a cliff this season. Rashford's fallen off a cliff this season. Who's received more criticism? I remember the conversations about Matoma last year, how good he is. Should Manchester United try and go and sign him? Should a big club go and try and sign him? Now look at him in the second season. Look at the difference. You don't even hear it in regards to Matoma. And I've not watched Brighton week in, week out, so I don't know if it's on him. I don't know if it's injuries. Obviously, they lost players. They lost Caicedo. They lost McAllister, etc. But I'm just talking about the level of expectation here. Do I like De Zerbi? Yes, let me just clarify that. I think he's a good manager. But I'd want to see him somewhere in the middle ground next before he makes that jump to Manchester United. Because we've spoken about the pressure. We have no idea how he deals with pressure. We thought we kind of knew with Ten Hag because he's been at a big club. And even him, we watched do better than okay, in my opinion, for the first season. Do very well in terms of handling pressure. In game, with his substitutions, press conferences, both post-match and pre-match. He was fine. There was no issues. It wasn't every week pulling up comments he's saying. Now, all of a sudden, that second season hit and it's like, that now the level of expectations gone up again because of him. Obviously, the bar was on the floor because we're coming off our worst ever season. So it was a question of just doing the basics, which we did, making us a cohesive unit, getting us to like the team again, believe in the team, actually pick up wins. He picked up a trophy, FA Cup as well. So we reached 2 domestic cup finals, even though we lost the FA Cup. Second best home record, finishing third. All of these things are all well and good. But now the expectation is not only to match that at Manchester United, is go again. It's like you can't be falling off like the way we've fallen off. It's not like we've dropped from third to fourth. And we've dropped from the second best home record to the fourth best home record. We've dropped from third to sixth. And we're sixth just because everybody else is terrible and we have we have players who will win you games. We've gone from the second best home record to the 9th best home record. No, 10th, sorry. You've gone to 0 goal difference. Not plus, not minus, 0 goal difference, and it's the 11th of March. We're on course to score less goals than we did last season.
And last season was talking about
the pressures. And last season, in terms of goals, was terrible. Yeah. 58 goals is ridiculous. And I was saying this all last season. And people was telling me, our attack's not a problem. Like, our attack, well, this season, our attack's a problem. No, our attack was a problem last season. Just that Rashford, again, had the form of his life in terms of GNA.
And that's real, yeah? Without Weghorst, he doesn't even do that.
Weghorst played his part. He played his part.
He helped Rashford out a lot. Way more.
He played his part.
He did.
Yeah.
That balance was slept on.
Yeah, he says, but if you look at Brighton, De Zerbi's been consistent in 2 years based on their points of position. Yeah, he has been. I don't doubt. Like, let me just clarify this because some people are new here watching. De Zerbi's done a fantastic job at Brighton. I am not critical of him at Brighton in terms of what he's done, points he's getting, positions, the football they play, etc., etc. I'm talking about results. Some of those results he's had at Brighton are eye-opening. You cannot be getting beat 4-0 away at Luton with Brighton. That should not be happening. They lose 2-1 first. You can't be getting beat 5-1 towards the back end of last season at your home pitch to Sean Dyche's Everton. These things matter. Because on the flip side, if he was going away to Luton and winning 4-0 and was beating Everton 5-1 at home, these would be in the plus column for him, and rightfully so. So we can't just look at the good stuff and praise him for that. But then when we look at the negatives, we go, oh, nah, that's just because he's at Brighton. No. It's fair. Like, we either praise him for his good stuff and criticize him for the bad stuff, or we have to keep the same energy. Like, I'm not hearing that. Some of the results, you can't be going 2 games in 2 months. People talk about, oh, Brighton are in Europe. All right, so what happens when he's in Europe with Manchester United and the pressure is intensified by more than a million? Then what? Because you're going to be playing 2 games a week here, whether it's Europa League, whether it's Conference League, or whether it's Champions League.
What's his personality like? These are
things I'm talking about, Leon. I don't know. And I don't want to find out at Manchester United.
No, but I would That's ask, the problem I have. I think if he's got the capacity of, like, not being like a Ten Hag or Mourinho, where they're a little bit. Mourinho was kind of not, because he had that, what do you have, Rui Faro or something? Is that the guy who had a number two?
Yeah, that was his assistant manager. Successful.
As long as the manager's got the ability to be a little bit adaptable and just be like, maybe they come in and they say, look, you can come in, but we're going to look for a good number two to come as well. So whatever, basically, without telling him, because you're not going to say to him, man, you're the boss, but you're lacking, so I'm going to bring someone else out. You subtly do that in a business, yeah? But, like, as long as he's got the ability to take that on, like, I'm somebody in my line of work, I'm quite stubborn, and I don't really take on things unless it's like I get to have my own creative input on things. I don't just, like, work for people. I work with people. Do you know where I'm coming from? Like, I don't go into a team of when I'm doing, like, boxing the media, and I don't just go, oh, yeah, what's my role? Okay, I'll just stand around with it. I very much take my initiative to leave my imprint on things. And I think we want a manager like that, but also, if I have to take authority and I have to listen and stuff, I will do. So as long as you've got that double thing there, then it's all right. But maybe, I don't know if anyone knows, or where did he manage before?
He managed at Sassuolo. And someone put it in the chat.
They were a good team. They were all right.
Yeah, in Syria, he did.
Maybe and just to clarify, to
someone
people,
said
like,
in the chat about Matoma. Matoma's played 19 Premier League matches. He's played 26 games in total. So he's played this season.
Is that it?
Yeah, he's played 19
games this season.
This season he's played 19 Premier League matches and he's played 26 games in total. So even though he's been injured and missed games, he's played matches. His form,
for example, just on that example there, yeah. He doesn't need to. You don't want a manager that comes in and goes, yeah, I've just been in that club. I really want that guy. And then they're like, no, we don't think he's up to the quality. You want someone who's adaptable. I like that profile of player. And they go, I'll bring you this guy. Cool, I'll work with him instead then. I don't want someone who's too. Ten Hag was very much like, I have to go raid all of Ajax. Why? Just pick one or two and move on. Like, there's other profiles in it. So
please pick the right one or two. Don't just pick the one or two that are, you know, forever indebted to you and do whatever you ask them to do. You know, like, that's how I feel like with this. That's why I feel like those signings were made, because those were probably his teacher's pets, if I'm being honest. Like,
well, Martinez, to be fair, good.
Martinez.
He shouldn't have gone and raided the whole, and then he's still trying to go back and get, what was that striker he's trying to get recently, that guy and all that. Broby and
Anthony. Like, Anthony making that little heartfelt video talking about, I'll go to the end of the earth with you.
There's
a Hallmark movie.
Man said a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, so go to the end of the earth. What are you saying, Sheik, in regards? in regards to the Zerbi.
Yeah, I agree with like a lot of the points that were made, to be honest, too. Like, we've been talking about De Zerbi even before he got linked to United, like whether he would be a good fit. And it's kind of the same thing for me, too. It's like I feel like you get to a job like this and he still has a lot to prove to me in terms of experience in the league, because you can't compare the pressure at Brighton. Well, he has no pressure at all there, to be honest, as compared to United. And it's like, one, at United, yes, you could play a certain way and the performances could be good, but it's still, for us, the results business at the end of the day. And like you said yourself, some of the results have been very questionable. Like him going away to, was it Roma, losing 4-0? Matt, that's crazy, man. Like, and I hear injuries and he doesn't have his team. And I also do account that he lost Caicedo and McAllister in the summer, which are big, big, like, losses for the team. But still, it's like, one, there's not much to play for at Brighton when you're managing Brighton. Two, it's like, if I see him win some sort of trophy or if I see him progress in some sort of competition, I could be like, okay, he does have that, you know, style of football that could get him deeper in these type of competitions. But I don't know, man. It's like, another thing that Leon was saying is like, right now we are so desperate. We are so desperate for any type of manager at this moment where it's like a psychological thing in our head where we're agreeing and we're okay with getting anyone at this point. So it's like we're not really logically thinking about whether it could be a right fit. Even though, like you said, the biggest thing right now is for us to do the basics. Can De Zerbi get into our team and do the basics? I'm sure he can. But it's like, can he do it over a longer period where obviously all these different factors come into play? Will he be able to get his own, you know, players? Will he be able to get the best out of these players that are here right now too? Is a lot of questions to be asked, but I still personally think I need to see more from De Zerbi. I still think, you know, obviously he's lost McAllister and he's lost Caicedo this season. Let him go into the summer and you know, try to sign some players that he can, and then I want to see how he does with this team when he's able to fix on the problems that he's had right now so far this season. But I don't know, man. It's a tough question for sure. Like I said, it all comes down to the thing that we are just desperate for any manager at this moment. We play so bad right now that I think any manager could come into our team and fix what it's like, not fix, but improve on how we've been playing right now and some of the results as well. But I still need to see more from De Zerbi. I win a trophy and then we can have these concrete conversations for sure.
I don't know about that though. I don't know about just win a trophy, because it's like I hear that, but you can still hire managers based on like seeing what they do within cup competitions, seeing what they can do within the Premier League, and be like, you have the potential to go on. I just don't think that you've got the team to do it in that case. There's been them examples before, but I do get where you're coming from, because if you won like the Conference League, but I wouldn't like rule a manager out if they haven't won a trophy in that. For me,
do you believe him though?
What
do you believe that he can win a major trophy at Manchester United?
I don't know. Like,
that's it.
We're talking like a FA Cup or like...
Yeah, I'm talking
I'm just not looking at that. I just don't. I just forget all of that for me. Like, I could be like, obviously, look, Musa, I do agree with what Sheik, and you're kind of saying what Musa says as well. Musa says, right now, with the way the league fluctuates and the way that Chelsea have looked to nick trophies, we can do that right now with the right manager. Like, you can just go on a run and thingy. But for me personally, I'm not bothered if we don't do that. I'm willing to strip it right back and just be like, right, score, because I'm somebody that looks at the process to get to the result. So if you score more goals, the team are more galvanized, the midfield knows what they're doing, we're adaptable in some games, and we look like we're dominating more games, I believe that'll come back. I always relate it back to Liverpool's first season. They didn't win anything, but I just knew what was going to come from that team. I just knew it. As soon as Klopp came in and applied it, I was like, okay, cool. I can see what's good. I don't know if you lot could relate. I could see what was going to come from that team.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think for us, we're so far behind. Like, everybody, like, Flawless, you're the biggest advocate for it. Clear out this whole squad. That's a 3-4-year project. So in the meantime, if we can make a trophy, great. If not, if we can play better football and compete,
I'll take it. I hear you.
So far, we've fallen.
We have, but in the project, you can still win trophies during that period.
Of course you can. That's a bonus to me.
That's where I'm at. Like, this team, even this team now, because we've done it, is still capable of picking up domestic trophies. As bad as we've been in the past 10 years since Fergie retired, we've won what? 2 Europa Leagues?
Yeah.
Wait, Carabao Cup. One Europa League, one Europa League, one FA Cup, and two at Carabao Cup. So in the past 10 years, as bad as we've been, we still picked up four trophies. And we would all agree, and I think most Manchester United fans would agree, that the managers we've had ain't been good enough, the players haven't been, and it's been an absolute shambles. And we still picked up four trophies in 10 years. So imagine we was ran to an average level. What we could actually do, and it's not major. I'm saying in the process of it, like, yeah, Premier League and Champions League, that's very tough. But we are more than capable of going to win the secondary trophies.
But my thing is, yeah, I'm not going to rule someone out if they haven't done that. I'm just going to be like, cool, let's give it a go, because I'm so positive on this change. And everybody's like, we've got to go out there and pick in the world the perfect one. Then we've got to give him 4 years. I'm not saying you sheep, but a lot of fans are like, give him 4 years and then hopefully that, like, no, I'm cool to flip round. I'm cool to be like, if I'm Ineos right now, I'm in my Barada, I'm going to go, here is the standard. If you hit this standard and you're there for like, it's like sales ways to do. If you're in the Reds over too long, you're gone. It's not even emotional. It's just like, cool, yeah, you're in been there for 3 weeks. You're right. I'm cool with that. I'm not saying it's 3 weeks, but like, if you're not hitting the levels for like a month or two and we get rid of it, that's the process that we need. And we're like, cool, we tried it. We took a positive from it. Two players are here from his reign that are going to, I reckon, going to go on and still play in the system. The players are quite confident. They're scoring more goals. Bring somebody else in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with that, because right now we've settled for such, like, the lies and excuses and everything that's so, like, you can't lie to me. Like, people like,
he's trying to lie to you.
Yeah, yeah. And he cracks my head sometimes because he sends me this thing like,
Ten Hag kind of lie to you,
he's running with this win percentage thing. And like, win percentage, I'm like, couldn't give a shit, bro. Throw that in the bin, because at the end of the day, yeah, don't try lie to me, bro. Like, I can see it's shit. It's like, it's literally like being in a restaurant flawless, yeah. And then they're like, yo, the chicken's banging, bro. And you're like, I've tasted it's dead. And they're like, nah, bro, honestly, the chef, he like marinated it and then done all this, and the sauce is unreal, bro. Trust me, bro. He's rated in that. I'm like, bro, I've tasted it. It's shit.
They gave him a 4.9 stars on Yelp and all that stuff.
Yeah, so bro, I tasted it. It's crap.
It's rubbish.
But I think even
people have recommended me to go to restaurants before, and I'm like, nah, bro, it's not it. And they've been like, oh no, trust me, that's your preference with your dead taste buds.
That's why I don't recommend places where people are like, oh, what's such and such? Hey, you gotta try it for yourself. I like it. Yeah, you might always crapping on Dixie's, but we'll go McDonald's. Crazy.
But hey, you I go McDonald's, say right? This with the,
don't you, Leon? The wait, before you go, Eddie, you eat McDonald's, right? Huh?
Me, never. I've never had it before.
Yeah, eat before. McDonald's, you eat Burger King, all these type of stuff. Like these fast food places are different. But might want to get on to me about Dixie's and that. Joke, man. Yo, so
I'm still eating that process, but that's pigeon. So I'm still eating that
process. Yeah. Sure, isn't it? Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. McDonald's, where they spray the stuff on the chips where you can't even go in the room. But hey, we
didn't want to know that.
Yeah, I didn't want to know. I didn't read it because I like the chip too much, but we just keep it set. Yes, and to Phoenix, who says, fuck no, we don't eat McDonald's. No, we do. You know what I'm saying? That we do. We the people.
Everybody's had a McDonald's. Don't lie. Everybody's
we eat McDonald's. Now, some people don't. You know what I'm saying? But we the people.
They must have had one in their lifetime. I've never met anyone that said, I've never, ever, ever tried McDonald's.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe years ago. But yeah, let's just clarify, this guy talking about Dixie's and eat Burger King and all them things there. You know what I'm saying? KFC. You are definitely a KFC done. 100%.
No.
You are a KFC. So you don't like KFC?
I've done
that. All right, okay, okay. So what is it? Is it Burger King, yeah? Is that your go-to?
I'm looking, yes, man, we've got loads of burger spots up here, little independent spots.
Yeah, so sure.
I'm Chris.
Yeah, go on, Eddie, carry on. Joke.
It's just that, look, success, I always say it, success is relative to where you actually are in this entire situation area, right? Like, with Zerbi and the ups and downs of what he's doing at Brighton, I don't have too much of a problem with what's going on over there because.
Did he cut out? Yo, Eddie.
Do you ever see what the other Ed's put in the comments? Apparently, they spray crack on the American McDonald's. That's crazy.
Hey, man, it's like that Chris Rock joke when he spoke about the Krispy Kremes, man. And he's like, yo, Krispy Kremes taste so good. If I told you they put crack in them right now, you know what I'm saying? You'd be like, I knew something was up. Krispy Kremes, cracky creams. Yo,
Eddie, if you can hear us, come in and come out, man. We can't hear you.
Yeah. Eddie will jump out and jump back in. Let me get to the super chat. Big up to Oluwadamalari. I hope I didn't butcher your name, my guy, but big up to you.
Yeah.
There we go. I landed it, people. So big up to you, man, for the super chat. He says, even with Brighton's errors and injuries impacting De Zerbi's style, the team's identity is clear. Quality may lack, but vision persists. Here's the thing with this. This is true. Without doubt, this is true about it. But this is literally therein of every manager in the league. Every manager in the league, but ours, probably Poch, trying to think, maybe Sheffield United, even Burnley, who are currently, I believe, sat bottom of the league. They have a clear style, regardless of injuries. Burnley under Vincent Kompany play the exact same way, week in, week out. Like, they get battered every week, but they still play. So the but we don't give credit to them. I'm not giving credit for our manager doing the basics. Having a clear style of play is not anything special. Persisting with that style of play when you have injuries is nothing spectacular. We just think it is because our manager doesn't do that, but it shouldn't matter. I've just used Burnley, and Burnley are a championship side. Yes, they're in the Premier League, but they're championship level, and they play the same way, and it doesn't matter who plays. I guarantee if you they was playing their under-21s, they play the exact same way. Actually, I know this because I watched the I watched the Burnley under-21 game, and guess what? They play the exact same way as the first team. The exact same way, because one of my young G's was playing. So that's how I know that. So we don't give credit for that whatsoever. Like, I know personally, I don't, is what I would say in regards to the team. But the team's identity is clear. I just have my doubts in regards to he's never won a major trophy. Not even a major trophy. He's never won a trophy in a top European league. That is my doubts. Yeah, he's won. I'm not counting the Ukrainian Super Cup. I'm not counting the Ukrainian league like Mudryk came from over there. Like, no. I need you to be under some form of pressure somewhere and won something. Yeah, and people don't get mistaken. Would De Zerbi be a better manager than Ten Hag? Yes. 100%. Honestly, at this point,
bar on the floor.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I think you could take any of us for, and we wouldn't do. I'd do a bad job, but I wouldn't break all the records Ten Hag has won. At least there'd be a vibes. At least the press conferences would be give you lots something to talk about. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, he is that bad. We've all heard the list. And as soon as someone Ten Hag in is in the chat, I will read that list out again every single time when we inevitably win a game. But yeah, I don't give credit for it. That's just me though. But big up for the super chat, man.
Yeah, I
wanted appreciate,
to say
appreciate. Yeah, yeah, go.
My thoughts like on kind of like De Zerbi is kind of the same with Xabi Alonso at this moment too. It's like, yes, he's playing great football in this one season, but how does he perform when he faces some sort of adversity? And I feel like that's why everyone is being quick on Xabi Alonso, like, yeah, he should get his big job right away. I don't necessarily agree because I want to see him have some problems in the squad and see how he performs after that. To be like, okay, he's faced some sort of pressure, he's faced some sort of adversity, and now I want to see how he sets up his team and how he's able to perform, from that point onwards too. So it's like, it's the same thing for De Zerbi too, man. Like I said, we're all desperate. I know all United fans would take De Zerbi at this moment because we are just absolutely trash at this point. But it's like, yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's like, I still have to see more. But I hear Leon's point on the whole, like I would also personally pick a manager if I see him doing well in cup competitions and him, getting results and playing a good style and all that type of stuff. It's just the pressure different when you get to a team like this. I fear that we'll have the same problem when Graham Potter went to Chelsea from after good results and good style of play and good performances at Brighton, went to Chelsea and just absolutely fumbled because the pressure is just massive. People say, oh, he wasn't able. I don't know if he did actually. I can't remember if he had a transfer window to buy certain players or not.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he bought players in the window. He did. I think it was January.
To try to get some of the players that he could get, but it just didn't work out because, like, again, the pressure is crazy and the tide turns quick, man. Like, this fan base, we know how this club can be. It turns quick. It gets ugly quick. So it's like, yeah, man, that's just me, yeah. Though.
And I'm not I'm not against De Zerbi. Let me just clarify that. I think he is a good manager. I think he's done a very, very good job at Brighton. I just have my doubts because the level of expectation and the pressure is different here. That's what it is. Because the same things everyone's saying about De Zerbi now, very similar to what people were saying about Ten Hag. Not exactly clear style of play. They say done well in cup competitions, made a Champions League semi-final, has been at Ajax, which is one of the biggest clubs in Europe, had won multiple Dutch leagues, Eredivisie's, had won a couple Dutch FL, their version of the FA Cup over there as well, had developed players, had good players in his side, etc., etc. So let's not act like this wasn't the case. We can't do revisionism and act like these things weren't being said. Ten Hag was seen as one of the next guys. How are we talking now about a Ruben Amorim, for example? How are we talking now about a Xavi Alonso? Like, he was supposed to be the next big thing in management. And we're seeing how that turned out. And he's coming from a much more pressure situation than what De Zerbi's coming from. Because Ajax, don't get mistaken, there's pressure. Did the Ajax fans not storm the training pitch, the building, because they were that mad? Oh, am I mistaken? Someone in the chat, let me know. That's where they were kicking up.
When he left?
No. Not when he left. I'm talking about this season because they've been performing poorly. Was it not Ajax? The fans broke into the training ground and was just trashing stuff. Let me know in the chat. I don't know if it was them, but that happened this season. It might have been Ajax. I'm not 110% sure, but the chat will let me know as well. A big up to Oluwadamalari for another super chat. Yeah, I was right. Yeah, the Ajax, yeah. They vandalized the stadium. That's pressure. Big up to you, says, look at, yeah, it was Ajax. So, yeah, I was right after they got smoked by their rivals. So, you're in a pressure situation. You can't do them things. But big up for this super chat here as well. Look at Potter at Chelsea was similar to Brighton. He struggled scoring goals, but was compact at the back. Ten Hag was counter-attacking at Urech. Well, I didn't see his team there, so I'm not sure what he did. But in regards to Potter, we've seen him. He had a clear style of play at Brighton. And he was playing good football. And they got good results. And I believe they was like top seven, top eight while he was there. And then we watched him struggle at Chelsea. Because that expectation and that weight of pressure is much, much different. And that's why I really don't want Potter at Manchester United, because we watched him fail at Chelsea, even with the hierarchy above him. Go on.
There was so much going on at Chelsea, I think he was just bound to fail. Not going to lie to you. Like, go on, I'm not trying to make excuses, but again, when you talk about like a seismic shift in ownership, right, because of something outside of their control, that ownership wasn't, you know, voluntarily sold. It was pretty much taken away and sold to the highest bidder. In the midst of that, you have to reset a culture that nobody wanted to kind of give up, nobody wanted to get rid of. So he was operating behind the eight ball. Then you add on top of that a bunch of dudes who don't know what the hell you're doing, giving you instructions and giving you players. It's just it's a mess up all around. Of course, he takes his fair share of the blame. But I just think, you know, a large part of what was going on there was just out of his control. It for me, it's like, I don't even think he gets that job if Abramovich is still there. I think Abramovich big game hunts and they find something else, but.
Yeah, I think he gets that. He don't last that long there.
He's gone at like Christmas. He's gone.
Yeah, Roman's not accepting that rubbish. That's why. But that being said, I don't think they hire him under Roman, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
people have got to be a little bit less lenient on Potter as well, because I know I get it. You're entitled to say you're caught under the pressure and that, but I just think Chelsea is an example. There's part of me that's like 100% right with the pressure side, but the other side of me is like the way that club is run and what Potter has come into. And not really elevated from there shows me that there's more issues within the club and that Todd Boehly is not running that correctly. But at the same time, with the players that you've got, Poch, you should be doing a lot better. Do you know what I mean? Better, I can just tell that Chelsea.
You shouldn't be 11th.
Yeah, you shouldn't be 11th. No way. You should be adrift at 11th. At least where we are.
Like, if they lose to Newcastle today, they're 7 points behind Newcastle.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Newcastle are currently 10th, so they'd be like 4 or 5 points off of 10th.
And that shows that Poch needs to come into a certain level club that is like consistently top six, really, to be honest with you. Not something where he's like, right, you're going to grab us and drag us up the table. That just shows of him.
Yeah.
But certain managers are just good for certain clubs.
And like, that's it.
That's really it.
And that's it, Leon. And people think I'll be taking shots when I say, oh, no, he's good for that. Do I believe Graham Potter could come back and be a success in the Premier League? Yes. If you put him at Brighton, if you put him at Crystal Palace, at Brentford, I think he does absolutely fine. I think that's just the level he's at. Like, kind of like Emery, like at Villa, fine. Manchester United, Arsenal, absolutely not. There's only a select few managers that are equipped to be successful at that level. We're talking the top 1% of the top 1%. Some managers are just not. Some managers are Europa League, fourth to Europa League. Some managers are top 10. Some managers are... All right, we'll just stay in the league. So managers are just championship level and so forth and so forth. And that's okay. These are not shots. Like, if you're a solid Premier League level manager and you're just solidify the team, the odd cup run here and there, you're finished top 10 or top 14, guess what? You're of a certain level. You've still done a fantastic... David Moyes is a prime example. If you want to stay in the Premier League and be a solidified mid-table team on the odd cup run, David Moyes is your guy at West Ham. He is your guy. He won them a Conference League. Remember, before he got there, they was flirting with relegation. Now look at them. Come the end of the season, I mean, the start of next season, we're not going to be talking about West Ham being relegated while David Moyes is there. That's not even a conversation.
If you want to go on to the next level, you bring someone else. It's like Arsenal. Yes. I think even the season after with Arteta, it's like, I just feel like Arsenal fans stop falling in love with, like, I know you fell in love with him, but just
I keep falling in love with him, man. I keep falling in love with him.
I feel like if they're going to go on to do anything, then it's time to
Word to my guy Tony, the stars are aligning for Arsenal, man. Word to Tony, the stars are aligning.
They ain't going to win the league. I've had people messaging
me. Hey, stop this negativity. Hey, Leon, stop this negativity, man. The stars are aligning, man.
No, they're good. They ain't going to win shit. You can just tell because they're shameless. They're shameless, man. Do you know why?
Because they're top of the league, 10 games to go, man. What are you talking about?
We beat City and Rara, that game was, oh my, the dirtiest deflection as well. You lot are shameless, man. Shameless. Shame on you lot. But, yeah, let's see, man. Let's see. I think we just got to, trust. In fact, I ain't trusting any of us until they deliver this summer. If they sack Ten Hag and they identify the manager and they give us that and they explain to us why they've hired this manager. So we've got this philosophy, we want to play this style of football. Because if you've got a list of players, like you're trying to bring the wage bill down with the players, right? So obviously you're going into negotiations and you're saying, right, you're number one, but we've got 2, 3, and 4 that we've already spoke to on the phone. So if you don't want it and you can't accept the terms, we go down the list. Should be the same with the manager. Should be exactly the same with the manager. They should have 3 or 4 guys lined up.
Well, I hear you. And Jez, this is fire. I'm going to run with this, drink it, bars. Inhale it, and take it. Bars. Bars, Jez. This is bars. I'm going to forget this. So, Jez, make sure you write this again like on every show. Drink it, inhale it, and take it. I'm going to say that on the Back Again podcast. Shout out to all the Arsenal fans, man. Drink the Kool-Aid. It's okay, man. The Kool-Aid is looking sweet. Ask the Arsenal fans who have drank it. It's tasting sweet. Drink it, inhale it, and take it. That is fire. You know what I'm saying? The stars are aligning. Word to Tony, man. Word to Tony. He was spitting bars. I was critical of him on the show. He was right. Yeah. Eli, DM it to me. I make sure you're an Arsenal fan. Drink it, inhale it, and take it, Eli, man. The title. Hey, 20 years, but 20 long years. 20 long years. 20 long years.
Is that Naomi, man?
But run up the likes, baby. Run up the likes, though, people. Over 70 people in here right now. We're only at, how many? 34 likes. That's terrible. Like check 1212. Let's get up to 60 likes, people. Like check 1212. Continue to share across all the socials. Subscribe to the channel because we are closing in on 10,000 subscribers, come on, people. Road to 10K. We are currently right now 9,983. So we are closing in. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't. If you've been a long time watcher or you're a new watcher and you don't have a YouTube account, you have an email. Just click sign in. Just create an account real quick. And then that way you can get notified every time Sarcasm City TV goes live. And then the more of you lot subscribe, the bigger the channel gets. The bigger the channel gets, the better the content I create. The better the content I create, then the better the content I create because of the better content. See, didn't even catch that one, people. So yeah, make sure you hit the subscribe button, boss. Or did you, what did you just say? Drink it, inhale it, and take it. That's funny.
If you help us get to 10K, he's going to buy whoever the 10,000 subscriber is a Dixie chicken meal. So that's your incentive right there, people. Man.
Yeah. And you know what? Leo, go buy you some McDonald's as well, people.
You won't get Benedict from McDonald's.
McDonald's settings. Let's see what else you lot are saying in the chat as well. Just say this again, because you said, wouldn't you think that applies to many managers now these days, Flawless? Let me know what I said, what exactly you was responding to, and I will respond to that. So let me know. De Niro says, question, can you guys outline what you really want to take away? The desperation, just realistically, because there's no top managers out there. There is no, what I'd say to this, De Niro, is a big up every time. Like, he's saying he doesn't want Manchester United to be desperate in the search for the manager. That's what I'm guessing he's saying there, because there is no top managers out there. What I'd say was, there's no obvious names. I say this all the time. It's like when people say, oh, there's no value in the market. There's players out there. You just have to go and locate them. There's no obvious name. So, for instance, if we start talking about strikers, people will mention Ivan Toney. People will mention Osimhen. Just use those two for an example. But there's put it this way. Come this time, it's the 11th of March, 2024. 11th of March 2025, we're going to be sat here talking about a striker getting a big move in the summer who none of us are talking about right now in a year's time. Same way, pretty much, unless you're through the youth system at our club and you're well-renowned to be one of the world's best, you are going to be. Everybody's going to be unknown at some point. We just watched Caicedo go this last summer for 100 million from Brighton to Chelsea. When he went to Brighton, who had heard of Caicedo? No one was talking about Caicedo at any level whatsoever. I'm just using him as an example. So all of these players who go for big money and are sought after, same way Ivan Toney at one point was unknown, for example. Same way Osimhen was unknown. You have to go and locate these players before they get on everybody's radar. So in regards to this, what I'd say is identify. So it's on Omar Berardo and the Manchester United to identify what style of play we want to go with, whatever that case may be. Then they go out there and get a manager who fits said style. And there's managers out there. Same way no one we're talking to use your club, De Niro. No one we're talking about Ange Postecoglou. There's no conversation about Ange Postecoglou. Now look, he's definitely been one of the better managers in the league so far this season. I won't go as far to say manager of the season, but he's been one of the best performing managers, comfortably. And nobody wasn't talking about him. And people will say, oh, there's no left backs, for example. But how did Spurs find Adogie? No one were talking about Adogie. To me, he's arguably the best left back in the league right now. Is there a better left back in the Premier League than Adogie? That's my point. So he's arguably the best left back in the league, and I still don't even know now where they signed him from. I'll Google it. I have no idea. Nobody wasn't talking about Destiny Adogie at the start during preseason. Not a single soul. Let me exclude that. A Jez might have been, a Strasbourg Steve, a Konecki. They're aliens when it comes to this football thing. So let me exclude them, people. I'm not talking about, they're not normal in regards to their footballing knowledge and what they know. Because like I've said before, they could tell you about players in the second division in France. That's not normal. I'm talking general concerns. Nobody weren't talking about Destiny Adogie. Not everybody would take him at their football club. I'd take him in a heartbeat. And how much would he go for? If you went and tried to sign Destiny Adogie, how much is he going for? It's 60 million minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's what, 21? So there's players out there the same way there's managers out there. This is where these people need to go and earn their money. You are paid big amounts of money.
No risk as well.
To go and do the business. There's no risk. Yeah. So go get, so if you want, all right, I need a left back that does this, this, and this. Go and locate it. That's why even on Unfiltered podcast, when I was talking about this yesterday, and Saeed had mentioned, and we were talking about the lack of quality in the market. And I said, there is a lack of quality in terms of obvious names. But what I'm talking about is forget going, we need to go away from names. It shouldn't be bring me him. No, I need this. All right, and he has to have this list of attributes. I need a defensive midfielder that does this, 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 and this. Okay, here's a list of defensive midfielders that do this, 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 and this. Then you look at age. Then you look at injury record. Then you look at what league they've played in. Then you look at, all right, would they settle in if they, let's say, they, for instance, they were Portuguese or Spanish-speaking, for example. They're going to fit in well here because we have a lot of Portuguese and Spanish-speaking players. They'll be fine. Like, how do they fit into the system? It's, again, forget names. And even, I always use Mason Mount as the example. Forget players' names and players, whether I rate the player or not. It shouldn't have been, bring me Mason Mount. No, I need an energetic eight who just runs laps. All right, cool. Here he is. That should never be the premise, but all right, cool. And it wouldn't have cost us 60 million. You could get that player for 10 who's technically decent and just runs up and down. Cool. Forget names, people. That's where we're going wrong. And that's the same with managers. Forget the name. So forget De Zerbi. Forget Inzaghi. Forget Flick. Forget Zidane. We want a manager that does this. All right, boom. This is the list of attributes. This is what we want his personality to be. And then you build from there. Well, hopefully Manchester United do that. Because like I said, Adogie's a prime example. I think we've all got him here as the best left back in the league. Nobody mentioned this.
It's on the manager to make them play above their level as well. I always say, you know, the primary goal of a coach, manager in any sport is to minimize the weaknesses of your players and maximize their positives.
And big facts.
In the case of Adogie, because of how Ange is playing, you get to see the best of him. You can say the rest for a lot of the other, even a guy like Maddison. Maddison has been phenomenal for Leicester, but I think, you know, seeing how he's playing under Ange has taken his profile to a whole nother level. So It's always going to be, for me, player improvement is always associated with the manager in a large sense. Of course, the player bears some type of responsibility as to what you do training-wise for yourself, conditioning and just keeping yourself fit. But the manager has a huge part to play. And for even a guy like Deserby, going through the amount of players he'll go through with the Brighton because they're a seller's club, it's tough for me to always, kind of withhold his success simply to the results. And it's just for me a principle stance. Like if Deserby came through, I'd have no problem when it comes to football. I have no questions with regards to football. My only questions are regards to his personality and how he'd be dealing with. Because let's be real. Part of being the manager is you get asked a lot of dumbass questions. And if he's continuously losing his cool, how's that going to reflect on us? So that kind of factors into it. But I'm with you. Like guys like Mitoma haven't been playing well, but I think, Deserby's done all he can and the guys just gotten found out. And I think, who's to say if you gave him a stable core of players to use from a year-to-year basis. I'm not saying the whole 4 years thing, but if 2 years I give you a top crop of talent, what can you do? Can you give me a reason to give you another year, right? So that's kind of how I balance it out.
Oh, I hear you. And big up to Lee Gunner for the raid as well, man. Shout out to LG every single time. Make sure you subscribe to Lee Gunner's channel. Make sure you subscribe to Lee Gunner Reacts as well. And yeah, like that's what it is in regards to it needs to be a profile thing because De Niro mentioned it with the doggy that he was signed before Postecoglou was there. So it's still, you can clearly see he has all the attributes required to be a top left back in 2024. Like that's an obvious one. And he was at Udinese. Udinese weren't fighting for Serie A league titles. They weren't top four. They weren't sought after. They weren't like, oh my God, look at the football that Udinese are playing. To my knowledge, they definitely were in Champions League. I don't think they were in Europa League or Conference League. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. They weren't pulling up no trees. I'd never heard of him. And most people had never heard of him until he pitched up at Spurs. And he's 21 years old. So if they're saying they signed him, you lot signed him a year, 2 years ago. You signed him when he's 19, 20. And now we look at him and regard him as arguably he's in the conversation for being the best left back in the league. And you can watch him play. I can watch him. I watched him play once. I remember we did the watch along for the Spurs game because Spurs, whatever their first game was in the league season. I remember saying to Jeff, who's this left back? Inside 15, 20 minutes. I was like, who's this guy? Where did you sign him from? So I can watch him for 20 minutes and I ain't no scout. And these men are paid very, very well. So you're telling me Adogie's the only Adogie out there? No. Nonsense. Yeah. And that goes for every single position on the football field. There's a bad boy goalkeeper. Oh, there's no goalkeepers out there. There's a bad boy goalkeeper out there right now that none of us are talking about. Who in a year's time, we're going to be discussing. Same way Onana was hyped up at Inter Milan. But when he left Ajax to go Inter Milan, I believe it was for a free, correct me if I'm wrong. There ain't no real conversation about Onana like that. Same way there's conversation about who's the Portuguese goalkeeper, Costa, for example. At one point he was at one point he was unknown and there'll be others. So in regards to, I think people always get it mistaken. Sometimes the obvious transfer market is terrible. And a lot of the time it is. But there's players out there. Look how many players are applying their trade just across Europe. Just take the 5-6 leagues. Well, there's 20 teams, 18 teams with squads of 25. So you're telling me out of near enough 1,000 players. Even less extend it beyond the five out of 1,000 players, you can't find one. You shouldn't be in the job. You shouldn't be in the job because you're paid to do a very difficult job. This is why you're 1,000 there. Some of these people are millionaires based off what they do. So I'm not hearing about the toughness of your job when you are paid millions a year to do what you need to do. What are we talking about? Yeah. But people want to make excuses. But then we'll get on content creators and be like, oh, why did you lot say this and try? We don't get paid the millions they get paid. Just here giving our opinions. But big up to everyone again who's joined over from the raid. Run up the likes. Make sure you subscribe to all the mandem as well. Make sure you subscribe to Leon's channel. Make sure you subscribe to Sheik's channel. Links are underneath in the description. Sheik TV, Unleash Sports people. Make sure you do so as well. Of course, if you super chat, we'll get to your comment and question. But just please keep your questions Manchester United related and hit the subscribe button as well. It is road to 10K. And Leon, will go to you. Manchester United 2, Everton 0. Got the win. 2 penalties. Not the best performance, but fought on the performance.
Here we go.
I was on Staffies last night. It was just painful talking about this. Like, oh, the way people are clutching at stuff is just hurting me right now. Like, people are like, oh, we deserve the 2 penalties. We got gifted, yeah. If Garnacho doesn't do what he does, then we don't get the penalties. All credit to him and Rara. Oh, my. We've fallen so far. The standards are so bad right now. Do you know what I mean? So, like, for me personally, what's the score if we don't get them penalties?
0-0.
We are, yeah, or they nick it.
Yeah.
Like, the psychological side of football being 2-0 down does affect the opposition. So, I don't know, guys. I don't know what to say. It's just, it was just such a bad game to watch as well. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know if I watch the game. Oh yeah, I watched the first 60 minutes, then I had to go do something. But yeah, it was just it was so bad.
Yeah, I did a match reaction on my channel right after the game, and I don't know what to talk about.
Seriously. Yeah, it's yeah.
I just didn't know what to talk about. Like, genuinely. Hey, the only positive is that we're on a 0 goal difference now. Yay.
For how long?
We play Brentford away next, and I think it's Chelsea at the Bridge, if I'm not wrong.
You know, like, I said like 3-4 weeks ago, like in at the end of the start of Feb, I was like, could we see? And I was literally putting it out there to be like, this can't happen. Yeah, I was like, we could end the season with like less than 5 goal difference. I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I'm convinced.
We could.
When you look at the rest of the table, let me just get the rest of it. You carry on, Sheet. Let me get the rest of the table up now, because we're so far behind. Like,
it's the same thing we have every conversation. I said it too, and we did the Mandem United prior to that game. I said it, bro. Who's going to score the goal for us? And it's no surprise that it's 2 penalties. Like, seriously, no surprise, man.
Bro, Tottenham 20 goal difference, Villa 18, and they've been getting slapped recently, Villa as well. City 35, Liverpool 39. Arsenal 46, yeah. Brighton 6, Newcastle 12. Bro, this is mad.
And Everton were winless in their last 11, bro. Winless in their last 11. Like, this is what I'm saying, man. And people still want to back this shit.
39 goals, 4. That puts us 12th. I don't even know what to say anymore.
It's embarrassing.
I said, I don't even know what to say anymore.
That's all you can say. It's just, I have no shame.
It's like a surprise when we score now. It's like a surprise, isn't it? It's like, oh, there's a goal. Oh, yeah. Not seen one of them in a while.
And, you know, there are certain brothers who come on this channel quite occasionally who are waving flags for absolute scrubs. Let me be clear.
Literally, yeah.
You cannot anoint number 17 as much as you try, people. He's not the guy. He had, again, I don't even know if I want to say a good performance. He just got bailed out by 2 dumbass penalties.
Yeah, it's dumbass. Like, that's what it is.
That was it.
Eddie, it's just dumbass. That's what it is.
Why are you sticking your foot out like that, my bro? Like, why? Why are you even doing that? That's not some fucking application.
He's not a prolific dribbler. He's not a prolific dribbler. He's not Martial. You know what I mean? Like, Martial, you'd be like, you try it, and then you just know he's going to nick it around you. Like, he's not a prolific dribbler. Like, he's actually not running towards the goal. He's not running towards the goal.
Yeah, the second penalty, he lost like possession of the ball. If they didn't foul him there, they would have been okay. They would have cleared it. I remember this. I said it during the watch along too. It's like, they were dumb to just foul him there. Otherwise, that would have been a penalty. The first one, I kind of see it, but it's like the second one, man. It's crazy. But hey, Garnacho, give him time. He's young. Look at this. He won 2 penalties for us. quality, this and that. It's just like, yeah, man.
And I made this point yesterday on Filter Podcast when we were talking about Garnacho, because he got brought up towards the end. And I said, if Garnacho was elsewhere in the Premier League performing like this for another club, would we be talking about signing him? No. That shows the level he's at. We would not be talking about if he was at I'm not involved in that. I leave that to you. I leave that petty squabble to
same
you,
wavelength,
you
know, Leon.
Petty Eddie would be there. You know what I'm saying? Same I leave those petty squabbles
it's
to you,
unbelievable.
Man.
It's
what
unbelievable.
I would say, what I will say is, if he was performing, let's say he was at Chelsea or another struggling big club, if he was performing like that for them, same goals, same assists, same performance levels, would we be hyping him up and talking about getting to Manchester United? No. That shows the level he's at. Now, I hear, oh, he's young, but Manchester United, we cannot wait for you to get good. We can't be waiting for you to be of a level that we need right now. If that's you need to go out alone and then come back.
I need to do a thought experiment. Can somebody give me the numbers of Sancho last season?
Wait one second. You're talking about just goals or goals and assists?
Everything. Goals and assists.
Everything. Goals and assists. Yeah. One second. I'll have it. Actually, someone in the chat find that, because I can only find the goals on Wikipedia. So if someone, one of you lot in the chat, please help us.
What are the goals saying? Yeah.
Minutes for goals is disgusting. Or minutes for assists.
And to De Niro, who says, question, so you guys don't think United can finish fifth?
No, don't
I think
do
we finished sixth. I think we finished sixth highest.
Yeah.
Finish sixth to eighth.
Yeah. People not understand. I don't want to be in the Champions League with this manager. And people go, oh, no, you should aspire to be fourth. Why? What are we going
to
do?
Yeah. I don't aspire to be fourth. I don't aspire to that. To be in the champs to go get embarrassed.
So, Sancho last year had 26 appearances in the league, 6 goals and 3 assists.
26 appearances in the league, 6 goals, 3 assists.
Yeah.
I swear Garnacho has maybe one less goal in the same amount of time.
5 goals, probably a couple, probably a what, 5 assists, something like that?
He has one less goal, you're right. But this year, he's had 26 appearances, 5 goals, 3 assists.
And look how they gobble it up. I don't care. No. You can put that on it too. Look how they gobble it up while I stand here. Come on, man.
You're right, though. You're smart, man. The fact that both played 26 appearances is jokes. It's all good. Yeah. Like, for real. Eddie got a point there. Does winning penalties count as assists? No, Ed. Yeah. It doesn't get counted. I think it should have. Times hey, big up to Sunshine in the chat as well. Shout out to Sunshine every single time. Make sure you go subscribe to her channel as well, Sunshine FC, as you see her on Staffy TV, see her on other channels as well. Do very, very good work.
I'm tired of this shit. Honestly, I'm tired. Like, literally, I was on Staffy stream last night, like this, for about an hour. I just literally like this.
Why? What were you talking about? Oh, you just tired of the team.
I was tired in general, but I'm just the United. As soon as you start talking United, I start yawning. Do you know what I mean? That's no disrespect to sarcasm sitting in the show.
It was about their Lord and Savior Alejandro. That's what it is. Their Lord and Savior.
And people say, like,
why he's so
basically he's right. So yeah, look. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Yeah,
Lex is right. Everybody's not. Lex is right. You know what I'm saying? You are entitled to your own opinion, but sometimes opinions need to be shut down.
Oh, of course. So, like, for me personally, yeah, look, you can. This is what I always like to say. Yeah, you can have your own opinion. Yeah, it doesn't mean that I'll agree with it or get it. But you're allowed your own opinion, isn't it? That's what I think, isn't it? So, me, I always question it, because, like, when people say, like, Garnacho, can't you see the boys' class and Rera? Can't you see this quality in there? I can't see it. Like, I'm not a moments or gassed guy. That's just not how I'm built, in it. Like, you don't like. If I'm in boxing, if a guy's getting punched up for the whole fight, then he lands a sweet overhand right, yeah? I know he's only going to run to harder opponents. So I'm like, the pressure, the standard of where we want to go to only gets higher, and I don't think he matches that. For me, I've asked people, what attributes do you see from him that show that he's going to go on to be class player? I don't know. He's not a great dribbler. He's not. People gas up his shooting when really and truly... Pro players that get time and space, because that's where most of his goals will come from, time and space. Obviously, he's improvised a few, which I'll give him credit for. But a lot of the time, when a striker drags somebody, because you know the ones where he steps in, that means somebody's dragged that player out of bounds and given you an opportunity to shoot. pro players should be getting it on target or in the top corner as a pro player when you get time and space. You should be doing that. So for me, I don't see like dribbling. I don't see his passing as being amazing. I don't see his decision-making being amazing. I don't see his IQ that good. I don't, his balance is not, is awful. I don't, he, like people like Rhino had the cheek, yeah, and I hope you're watching this, Rhino, or you watch your back, yeah, to be like, he sits people down. Come on now, please. Oh, let's not do this. Please, let's not do this.
Oh, Rhino.
Let's not do this. Because when you play on the left-hand side as a right-footed player and you change direction, people are going to, and they're not good on their left foot, so they're weak foot, yeah, as a right back, you are going to get spaced. And if you've got a little bit of patience, you will get past them. That's not sitting people down. Like, Nathan Redmond used to do that. Like, that. Let's not do this, please. Like,
hey, flawless. Yeah. This will break it down to you. They called this dude Steph Curry because he hit a corner three.
Get the fuck out of here, dog.
Like, I'm cool off of all this hype, bro. I'm cool. There's not a single player on this squad other than Minor who deserves any kind of praise. But even Minor's been struggling these past couple games because, you know, again, you keep on playing with bums, you start to form into one yourself. I'm not saying he's going to be that guy. What I'm saying is we're putting him in a terrible position about how to learn to actually play this game. So you keep on putting him out there with McTominay. Keep on putting him out there with Bruno. See what he turns into in a couple years, right? This Garnacho bread is getting saved right now because between him, Fidget Spinner, and the brother on solitary confinement, a.k.a. Ahmad Diallo, he has all the opportunity to make something of himself. But again, he has hella time on the ball to make certain decisions because he's just running after it. Sometimes he trips over it. Sometimes he loses it. Sometimes he plays a pass that he can actually get somebody on the end of. Sometimes he scores a goal. But it's there's way too much variation in the amount of outcomes when it comes to him. We can't be sitting here, you know, just giving this dude credit for doing his job.
And here's the thing, yeah? It's like, stop overpraising the basics. Like, if we're breaking away and we've got Rashford at pace and Haaland at pace, and then you slot into someone who's wide open, that's what you should be doing. Don't start saying, oh my God, it was a world-class pass and rare. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh, that was class, rare. That's what you should be doing. Like, we could do that. Give me enough space and a gap between defenders here. You can make that pass. As ball as you can.
Maybe not me. I hear you. You're giving me too much credit, but I understand
believe,
your overall
believe,
point.
Believe.
I understand your overall point is correct though, Leon. Yeah. Like if you take anyone who's technically decent of any level, you're gonna be fine, like in space and being able to make passes and things of those nature. Yeah, with him, he just because the bar is on the floor and we have nothing to look forward to. We have nothing to look forward to.
He's bought him like three seasons.
Yeah, in particular, in attack because our attack is so bad. That's why because Eddie mentioned it.
You talk about Rashford. The sun shining on a dog's ass. That overhead kick. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Fuck, got like three more years of this shit. Oh my God. It's my fault, Flawless. You got it.
Nah, it's cool now, but you're right. It's because our attack is so bad. Crazy. Like, that's what it is. When you look at our attack, take Hoyland out of it because he's been injured. But before he got injured, he was in good form and playing to a good level. You have Garnacho, Rashford, Anthony, Bruno, McTominay because he gets forward. Our attack is awful. So he is the shining light. And it's not even a shining light. It's a flicker of a light in the distant wind. That's what it is, where it's a flickering light. That's what it is like in the distance, so to say, with the wind. And you know, like when you got boats at sea and then you've got the, what is it at the end that you see and it's the light? Oh, what is it now? You lot don't know what I'm talking about in the chat. Yeah, yeah, that's lighthouse. It. But it's like, yeah, the lighthouse, but it's like the light is flickering. On and off, like they gotta change the bulb.
Yeah,
like that's what it is, and it's windy and the waves is there. Like that's Garnacho. Like because the rest of the attack is absolutely shambolic. That him scoring the overhead kick, him winning two penalties, him just trying, just him just putting an effort. Because how he got those two penalties is him. That's just him being a fearless runner. That's just volume. Like that is what Garnacho does. Like, Garnacho will continue to, quote-unquote, fight for the badge. He's one of those. The effort level is always there. I don't see Garnacho give up. the quality's not there, but the effort levels is there. Something we accuse. And when you got Rashford on the other side not doing that, it makes Garnacho look even better. When you got Rashford not tracking back, that's not closing
baby.
Down.
That's a little baby not, over there.
That's a little baby, you know.
Yeah, this is it, sunshine. That's how desperate we are this season, laughing my ass off. We praising the bare minimum, and it's the bare minimum of the bare minimum. It's not even anything spectacular. It's not even like he's doing the bare minimum to like a fantastic level. It's not like he's an elite presser like Tevez or something like that. Yeah. And yeah, this is just where we are. Well, like, he should be coming off the bench.
What most of the fan base are not realizing is there's two things here. Yeah, if we're a big club, we sell him at the end of the season. Do you know why? Because for you to be able to buy a player and then go get 25, 30, 30 million for them and then reinvest that in the squad for a better player, that's what you call big club mentality. Mm. The second thing, as well, is it's like his overall game doesn't benefit the squad from what I see. Now, I'm not singing him out. I did say on Staffies yesterday, if he was the fifth choice off the bench for a season, and we already had two really good wingers, two guys that were competent enough to come and stay, come on and do 7 out of 10s, and then he was the fifth choice, and it's like, right, we're just going to give him a go, see how it goes this season. He's going to get a little bit of game time here and there, little cups, lower quality opposition. I could deal with that, yeah. But like, people are not realizing the way the squad is now, players like Alanga and that kind of mould, that would have done the basics and played to instructions within a system, is what we need to raise ourselves to that minimum level. Everybody's still looking for a star boy. I keep telling people, yeah, for us to go to the next level, you have to listen to what Flawless is saying. 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5 out of 10 every week. That's what you need right now within this squad, with a couple of gems. There's no need to do this whole, we've got to buy this guy and he's got to revolutionize the midfield. We've got to buy this guy. He's got to That's not the right mindset to have. Like, you have to play consistently well to get consistent results.
Yeah.
So, and sustainable results. So you need them players that do the stuff like go down the byline and they're crossing it in and maybe they're not getting assists, but they're doing the right thing. They're dragging players out. Do you know what I mean? Like right now, it's just give it to him. And he's trying too hard now, isn't it? Like obviously, he's been overplayed, but he's trying to do what Rashford does, go through loads of players and then bang it. And it's just not. You're not going to do it. It's too readable for the opposition, and it's just not going to create goals like that. Like, we need more team goals. We don't score team goals. Like, I hate credit in Arsenal, but a credit to them. A lot of their different players within that squad score goals. We need that within Arsenal.
Facts. And they're great from set pieces as well. They do score team goals.
And they pretty much score the same way. They score the same way every time. So you know that the system's in place for them to kind of play off the cusp, kind of play at in a mind state where they're not even thinking about the next pass because they already know just kind of off of reaction time where the next pass is supposed to go. And to your point about the 6 out of 7s, that level of sustainability is what makes these teams such a threat, because there are certain dudes in those lineups that you know what you're going to get from week in and week out. On this United team, I think Varane fills that type of description. I think Mainu does at his best, but that's about it. That's about it. I think everybody else is so up and down that to sit here and act like we understand what we're going to get from them in the first place is laughable. Like, again, and we're talking about this, and I didn't even mention our captain. Go through all the top clubs. Tell me who their captain is. I guarantee you, they might not be great, but at the bare minimum, they're giving you a 6 out of 7 every time they step out on that pitch. And with us, we can't get that from ours.
I hear that. Big up to the Don Lee Gunner. He says, sub to the channel, close to 10K. Hey, big up to you, Lee Gunner, every single time, man. Big up, Lee. Appreciate real the raid one. As well. And you lot, make real sure you one. Subscribe to Lee's channel as well. You can catch me on there Thursdays on the Phase 4 show. Saeed's over there, Northside, Lee Gunner, and of course, myself as well. And yeah, Bruno, yeah, you mentioned it here, De Niro. Another stinky player, Bruno Fernandes. Crazy how the conversation about him has died down. No, it's that. No, oh, it's
the pom-poms got put in the closet, huh?
They
put the pom-poms up, didn't they?
Now there's no Bruno Fernandes this, Bruno Fernandes that, elite chance creator. What does he do? Because our attack has been awful pretty much all season long. And our attack was awful last season. and pretty much the season before that. Go check the numbers in regards to goals scored. And people wanted to blame a Jadon Sancho. People wanted to blame a Martial, a Pogba, etc., etc. Now look, those players are gone and they're still bad. And don't get mistaken. We just talked about our forward players being terrible in regards to our strikers and the wide players. But Bruno's also a part of that too.
He's also a part of times that. Like this.
Yeah, man, to rhyme like this, so I could shine like this. Yeah, like, that's on, it. Man. And just to see him get exposed even further now, the goals and assists have dried up even further, and we're on course to score less than 58 goals this season. How many goals would you like? Actually, let me know in the chat. How many goals do you think we'll score this season in the Premier League solely? Because we're currently at, we scored 39 in 28. So in this next 10 games, how many are we going to score? I'm saying less than, it'd be less than 58, put it that way. Do we get 50 goals this season?
Hell no.
Shout out Denton, man, every single time.
Yeah, shout out Denton. You don't think we get 50 goals this season in the league? So you think we score less than 50, Eddie?
Nah, I don't think we got 50 in it. I think how many games we got left? Like 10?
We got 10 games left and we scored 39.
Oh, shit. I didn't know it was like that. Yeah, I wouldn't go over 60.
No, we definitely don't get 60. We get less than 58. We got less than 58.
Yeah,
I'd say like 50. Yeah, less than 55.
Yeah,
I would say
we
got, like,
I think, well, shit, we can get smoked by Brent. Again, people, this is what I realized about United, right? Managers get so pissed off when they lose to us because we give them all the opportunities in the world. If you ever looked at Silva the first time we lost to Fulham, right? He was pissed because we played so shit and it took a DeLow screamer for us to pull that game out. Thomas Frank is built the same way. These dudes respect the game. He can't see how United has been playing. McTominay beat him at the 90th minute. Like, what was that, two goals in a row?
Yeah, it was two goals. Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to get his get back. And they got Ivan Toney. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you this right now. He wants his get back. I don't like our chances.
Yeah, I remain in fixture, so Brentford away, that's after the international break that Eddie was talking about. Chelsea away, Liverpool at home, Bournemouth away, Newcastle at home, Burnley at home, Crystal Palace away, Arsenal at home, Brighton away. And we've got the Sheffield United game that needs to be put into the fixture list as well because it got postponed because of the FA Cup game as well. Big up to Manj, big up AJ B as well. But it is going to be tough. I do think we get to 50, but it'd be like no more than 55. Because we scored 39. I could see us in the next 10 games, what, 11, 12 goals? 11, 12, maybe 13.
Newcastle at the crib.
Seven of them are penalties, probably.
Yeah, so maybe Newcastle.
52, 53, I would say. We don't get more than 58.
What did we? Was that our total last season was 58?
58. 58 was our
total. Yeah, we're not getting there.
We scored. So we scored 58 goals last season. We scored 57 goals the season before that. Season before that was good. We got 73. And then the season before that, 66. So we haven't scored well in the league for a long, long, long time. And I noticed that's, you know, a certain Mr. Bruno Fernandes. We've not done well scoring goals at all. I'm just going back here. We've broke 70 goals once in the past 10 years. So we've been struggling ever since. Once. In the past 10 years, we've broke scoring more than 70 goals in the Premier League season.
Fucking embarrassing.
Hey, we got an elite chance creator, man.
Elite chance creator.
You know what I'm
saying? Cantona of our generation, they said. Disrespectful. Disrespectful.
So Shad says Højlund gonna get us there. We'll see. We'll find out in regards to... I think Højlund will help once he's back because they're saying he could be back for... the Liverpool game, I believe. So that's what they're saying.
But hey, he showed us he can't score in 18 goddamn games. So who knows? He might be a part of the problem too.
Yeah, that's true. Don't forget that. Babe, I'm hoping the penny's dropped in regards to, oh, these men ain't going to help me. Let me just go and do this myself. That's where we're at. And let us know in the chat. Somebody mentioned it about Diallo. Saeed mentioned this yesterday on his show. Because PS says, I don't know if I missed it, but did y'all talk about the Ahmad situation at the club? PS, what is the situation? If anyone else in the chat will close out on this note, like, what is the situation in regards to Ahmad Diallo? Yeah, and let me just clarify. Go on, Sheik.
He deleted all United stuff on his socials.
I get that. I feel like deleting all United stuff off my socials. I get it.
all that stuff. He just today, I seen it on Twitter like a couple minutes ago. He deleted every single thing but United related. He just has like Sunderland pictures up, basically.
As he should.
Yeah, man.
That's because he's pissed.
Yeah.
He's pissed, man. Like, I can't get a game. And again, people, this is not me saying Amad Diallo is the answer. This is not me saying he will transform the forward line, but he should get a chance because the forwards in front of him have been awful all season long. We are at game week 28. There's 10 games left. These men have been awful all season long. He deserves a shot and not 10 minutes off the bench, not 15 minutes off the bench, not 20 minutes off the bench. He deserves stats. He deserves 60, 70 minutes, at least 3 games in a row. Because we've watched Anthony play all season. We've watched Rashford play all season. We've watched Garnacho play all season. Give him a run. Let him play at home to Liverpool. And if he's bad, you give him the next game. Let him play away at Brentford. If he's bad, you play him again. Then if he's bad away at Chelsea, then you drop him for the Liverpool game in the Premier League. Give him a fair opportunity. Give him a fair opportunity. Go on.
This is my thing.
Go on.
We've allowed bum-ass performances the entire season. Now you want to start holding players accountable when it comes to Amad?
True.
You let these dudes dog walk throughout the season, look like complete assholes, make complete assholes out of all of us. Amad puts in 3 bad performances, then y'all want to start talking. Right? And that's my thing with the Casemiro subject. Like, look, I understand Casemiro did not give himself a great showing on Sunday. Right? But again, I feel like we're all in cuckoo land here because we've said it so many times. The brother played with Modric and he played with Cruz. Who was handling the ball playing responsibilities as a deep line playmaker? Definitely wasn't him when you pair him with those two. Then you pair him with Bruno and Scott McTominay, and you wonder why our midfield is out here looking crazy. The fuck is going on out here? What are we holding? Like, so with Amad, with all these players trying to find their shine, look, Amad is especially disheartening because he's a young player, right? And usually you rotate in young players, you give them loads and loads of chances to prove you wrong. At this point, the manager just does not like his style of play. And so if I was him, I'm trying to get sold. You've seen what it done for Angel Gomez. He's out there in France doing this thing. Like, we've seen this before. And so, Amad, brother, do your thing. It's not going to get any better here unless this manager has some type of come to Jesus moment like I spoke about earlier and sees that, okay, I actually have players who know how to engage others while they play football. And it's not just a one-man show every time he touches the ball. And he'll give me a bit more control in the final third. But if that's not going to be what happens, yeah, brother, leave, save your career, enjoy your football. You're young. You got the rest of you got as much time as you need to rewrite what's going on over here. So that's my thing with Amad.
Same thing for me too. Like, 2 things. One, I can't get a start against a team like Newport in League 2 in the FA Cup. Crazy. If I'm sitting on the bench and I see that shit happen, that's crazy, bro. And 2, I'm getting benched by Garnacho, who usually plays on the left. That's like, yeah, man. Crazy, bro.
And people wonder why he's upset. And again, let me just clarify. People are like, oh, do you think, well, Diallo, he won't turn it around. And again, he just deserves the opportunity. That is the message I want to get across. The opportunity to fail or succeed. The same way Garnacho, Rashford and Anthony have all had multiple opportunities this season. They might have all had more than 20 starts this season. So why can't Amad get 5? The man can all get 20, 25 plus. Why can he not get 5 starts? Just to see. And worst case scenario, he's as bad as them, man. And we're in the same exact situation anyway. We can't go any lower in terms of performance. He scored 39 league goals in March, and it's March. 39 and conceded 39. We're at 0. We're on course to score. I don't know what like the average is in regards to, I've not broke it down like that, but we're on course to score less than 58. And how much is our attack worth? And we're on course to score less than 58 league goals in a season. We are still one of the lowest scorers in the league. If I actually look at it, let me have a look here. He's actually scored less than
his little his non-Forest
form. Bournemouth, Palace, Everton, Forest, Luton.
Stinks.
They're the only teams. Oh yeah, 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 and of course Burnley and Sheffield United. But Luton have only scored one less goal than us. So we've scored less. We've scored less than Brentford. We've scored less than Fulham. Less than Chelsea. Less than Wolves. Less than Brighton. Less than West Ham United. Okay, sure.
Stinks.
All right.
I just made the list. I just made the list.
That shit is crazy.
Bet.
It's crazy. I'll never forget. Brother came on against Nottingham Forest and for 15 minutes looked like the only one who knew what he was doing out there when he came.
Exactly. Preach it.
And then we never saw him again because we wanted to put number 17 on the right with Rashford again, little baby on the left. Trying to make little music baby. Videos while he's on the pitch. Fucking jokes, bro.
This that little baby thing is killing me, still.
Oh, hey, bro. If you watch the buddy coming out here with all this ice on, can't even see his chest or his neck no more. He got all that goddamn ice on. It's crazy, man. Don't let Here's it be fake thing. Diamonds, too.
Here's the thing, people, yeah. Some of the best times we've looked good in recent times, yeah, is because we've had unselfish players that can bring other players into the game. Like I say to you, I'm sorry for the people that's going to give PTSD because I know that they can't stand when we talk about things like this. But what Martial brought to this team, now people just straight away are like, oh my god, you're talking about Martial in 2024. Oh my god, we got to get over it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm not saying keep him and sign him on a 6-year deal. I'm looking at what he's offered during his time here, the way he can bring players into the game. And the way we never facilitated that to its full potential is criminal. So I don't blame him, Ahmad. I don't blame him. Because unless you're going to play Ericsson in the 10, unless you're going to play, you can play another non-sensible winger on the other side. That's fine. You can get away with doing that while the system's growing. Unless you're going to play two people behind Ericsson to play Ericsson in the 10, unless you're going to play, you have to play, Diallo, what's his name? Dallo, right back. Yeah, unless you're going to play that kind of Dallo with him, Ericsson in the 10, and then two sit behind that, and you're going to play a proper system and a proper style of football, you're not going to appreciate Ahmad. Because what Ahmad can bring to the table is what we've seen Martial bring to the table, but in a slightly different style. But we just don't nurture these players, so I don't blame him. Like, he can go and get... we're going to go watch him ball out somewhere. We're going to go watch him ball out somewhere. If Angel Gomez is out balling out, he's going to go out and ball out somewhere. Now imagine if we'd have catch Angel Gomez and we're playing both of them two together now.
It's one of them. We move. Well, yeah, final few questions, people, before we close out. Again, continue to run up the likes on the video because there's over 140 people in here, only at 59 likes. Like check 1212. Let's get up to 80 likes, people, expeditiously. Let's get up to 80 likes forthwith, as Eli would say, people. And hit the subscribe button. We're now 11 subscribers away from 10K. 11 subscribers. So hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification.
By the way, sorry, just one more point. Bruno doesn't deserve to play with players like Martial or Ahmad. He doesn't deserve it. You don't deserve to play with players like that because
I just don't want him at Manchester United. Send him Liverpool.
Word to what Eddie said. Ten Hag's out here. He's the genius. We're all dumb. Bruno's the genius, and they're all dumb as well. So that's what.
And to plug Boy, who says thoughts on Inzaghi? Would you take him at Manchester United? I've not watched him like that. His resume fits, and he's at a huge club and is dealing with the pressure. So in regards to resume, kind of like how I look at Ruben Amorim without watching their teams too tough, their resumes fit. Their personalities seem to fit. So yeah, if we were to get Inzaghi, if the hierarchy, I have to trust the hierarchy. If the hierarchy go, yeah, go get Inzaghi, cool. And Inzaghi ticks the boxes. And people are saying Inter Milan are playing much better football this season in regards to it's much more offensive and it's good football. So I'm going to watch them, depending on who they draw in the champs. If they did, they get through. They got through in the Champions League, right? Are they playing second leg, or did they already go through?
I think they're probably playing second leg.
They've got second
leg. They're playing as a second leg. Their second leg. But let's say they get through their tie, yeah, because they're playing Atletico Madrid. So let's say they're getting. That's how much I just don't care, yeah, about what's it called? how much I don't care about Champions League because the ties are just so disinterested. I might watch Atletico Madrid, you know, just to see how they get on. I see if
the
they get.
The funniest thing is the same people who say they want United to play good football also want this next manager to use Bruno Fernandes to play that good football. It's fucking hilarious. It's fucking hilarious.
So I'm looking at Bayern, PSG, Real Madrid, Manchester City. That's four of the eight. All right. Hey, Real Madrid, you must. Porto, you must. But hey, we move. I think that's it anyway. Come I think on, that is it.
I would take Inzaghi over De Zerbi.
Okay. Oh, definitely. Definitely Inzaghi over De Zerbi. Yeah. Just because he's been at, again, Inter Milan, and he's succeeded there. And that is a pressure situation. Like, if you don't succeed there, you will be sacked.
I think they're
also doing well in Europe.
I think they're like, I could be wrong, but I think they're like 15 points or something like that clear.
I'm having a look right now.
Definitely
over 10.
But yeah. Let me have a look. I'm literally pulling this up. What is it about Inzaghi that you go, yeah, he's a guy that I'm like, yeah, if he manages, cool.
I forgot about him. He definitely just
his style of play, the players that he's been working with too, like he's brought players like Thuram and stuff like that. Just his style of play and the way he's doing well in the league as well. Like, yeah, you have to account that other teams haven't been playing that well either. Like Juventus have fallen off like crazy, but he's probably gonna win the Serie A this season. So, and he also got them to a Champions League final last year as well, even though their run was a little bit questionable. But the teams that they played as compared to other teams in previous runs, like you could argue that his run was a little bit easier because I think he played Milan in the semifinal.
I didn't know he was the manager from all that time. Carry on, sorry.
Yeah, but just style of play, performances, the way he's developed players to at Inter at this moment. I think, for me, he'd be better than De Zerbi. I don't know about other options that we have, but yeah, man, like I wouldn't be opposed to that for sure.
Yeah, that's 16 points clear.
16
in
points.
Syria. Yeah, and I'm just saying he won a Coppa Italia at Lazio. Won two Coppa Italias at Inter, and obviously Champions League in Europe as well last season.
57 goal difference. Bring him in. 57 goal difference. Bring him
that's
in.
That's crazy.
This guy. Well, anyways, people, we are going to close out. Let me know who's live in the chat, who we can redirect to. And don't forget, this show, people, and all the other shows on the channel are available on audio-only platforms as well. So Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts, type in Sarcasm City TV and this show and all the other shows will pop up. So if you use Spotify, people, follow us and hit us with the 5-star on there on Spotify. Same, all you iPhone users, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, people, 5-stars on there. Same with SoundCloud, hit us with the follow. Big up to all the audio listeners as well. Big up to everyone supporting Sarcasm City TV. Again, let us know who's live, who we're going to redirect to. Otherwise, I'll just send you lot to doing the most. We'll go to you, Sheik. Where can they find you? What you got coming up over the next few days? All that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can find me at Sheik TV on YouTube. Like Flo said, the link to the channel's in the description or in the channel page and stuff like that. In terms of what I have coming up next, literally in an hour and a half, we are doing episode 6 of the Mud Brothers show, where you will see Eli, Curry P. P stands for Poch, by the way. Let's just let that be known. We got M. De Niro, who's in the chat as well. He'll be there. And we also have Will and Spoovy. So Mud Brothers show every Monday. It's pushed back a little bit today, but we're going to be doing it in about an hour and a half. I think it's 8 p.m. UK time, if I'm not wrong. But yeah.
Also, when Chelsea Newcastle go live, okay, fair. When that game goes on, okay, fair. So make sure you subscribe to Sheik TV. Link is underneath in the description. It's also on the featured channel page as well. Leon, let me know what you got coming up on your channel, where they can find you, all that good stuff.
I need to resurrect my channel, to be honest with you.
Do your thing.
I think I'm going to launch a new show with a few people on Thursdays, and also do one on Monday as well, and do a boxing thing as well, because I want to get a boxing little pod going and that as well. But you have to give me this week, people. I'm stacked with work, so I'm going to get through everything I need to get through, and then we'll look to resurrect and get a schedule. Probably drop like 2-3 shows a week. But for now, at Leon's Reality on Instagram, that's where you can find me. Got some new content dropping this week, as usual. And yeah, man, big up Flawless, man. Hopefully next time I'll be in more high spirits. I just feel a bit with the United thing right now. I just feel like...
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. But that being said, you mentioned the boxing show. When I bring back Big Fights, Big Nights Only onto the Twitch, I'm going to shout you for that. I'm bringing back the boxing show.
100%. What, you do watch-alongs for boxing?
Nah, I do watch-alongs for it. Also, previews and recaps as well. It's just not good this year.
I'm your guy.
That's been it. Is yeah.
I can bring people onto that as well from the industry. So let me know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. We'll talk after this. But yeah, that was the boxing show we had. So it was me. Ahmed was on there, and I had a couple duns from stateside as well. My guy JK and my guy Jesse. And we just talk all things boxing. But it was big fights, big nights. So we only did like the big about type of thing. But definitely, I'm gonna bring that back. Obviously, Sheikhs, come.
I was going to say, big up on my Muslim brothers and sisters out there. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, fasting is not a joke. Do you know what I mean? So, obviously, you guys, very, very admirable what you're doing. Obviously, I know it's a faith thing, but to see that from the outside perspective is very, to me, it's quite an inspiring period, to be fair, because I speak to a lot of my brethren, big them up, keep them up going along the way and that. But, yeah, the only haram right now, because there shouldn't be any, is United. So, unfortunately.
Facts.
Yeah, that's where it's at, isn't it?
Yeah, I hear that. And yet, when speaking of boxing, of course, so yes, people, you will get big fights, big nights only back, where we'll preview the bout probably on the Friday. You'll get a watch along on the Saturday, and then the recap either that same night on that same show or the Sunday after. And shout out to Sheikh as well, because the UFC show is back on Sarcasm City TV as well. Walk to the Octagon. Sheikh did the UFC 299 card, so you got a recap.
Oh my days, what a card.
The recap is on the Twitch. They did the watch along also on the Twitch, and there's also the preview on the Twitch, and it's also available on all audio platforms as well. The Twitch is also Sarcasm City TV, so you're gonna get more of that as well, because Sheik and Spoobs and the rest of the gang who was holding that.
What did
down
they do? Watch along for that.
Yeah, they did a watch along.
Oh, you should have shown. I'd watch that with
them. I even know. Yeah. Well, we can tap in. We'll talk about it after the show. 100%. What's happening? So yeah, Walk to the Octagon, people, that is now back up and running. UFC, like I say, Sheik is holding that down, and then Big Fights Big Nights Only, which is the boxing show, also on the Twitch, that will be back up and running soon. Don't forget, we got Victor and Fats, they're covering Formula One as well. And don't forget, Playback NBA season, you know what I'm saying? NBA season, next game is you know what, Sheik versus Eddie. Actually, we got Sacramento versus LA, you know what I'm saying? The Kings versus the Lakers. You be off, you might win your last. You beat the Clippers. And who else did you play? The Warriors, right? Where we did last two. I swear the Lakers are like 3-1 on watch-alongs. The only team you lost.
Go ahead, take your credit, man. Go ahead, take your credit.
Yeah, man, give me my credit. Because when you lot lose, you blame me. So I'm taking the credit when we
win. Well-deserved blame as well. Why credit is not so much. The loss is for sure. Because again, it's the energy. Flawless is the energy.
Yo, my energy. I'm Laker Nation. I want the Lakers to
again. You know these things. The things you can't measure. Your things you can't measure. You just got to give the blame to those. That way, you can't necessarily tell when the shit is really somebody else's fault. I can just place it there and feel comfortable that it's placed there. That's how it goes.
But yeah, you lot, make sure you go subscribe to Sheik TV. And it'd be live 8 p.m. Make sure for that. Also, as well, subscribe to Unleashed Sports as well. Big up to everyone who has tapped in, and we'll be back. We got a couple games, actually. I'm going to redirect you a lot to Lewis as well. But we got a couple more live streams, people. So on the Twitch, 8 p.m. UK time, we will be bringing you the Chelsea versus Newcastle game. So that watch along will be going down there on the Sarcasm City TV Twitch. Then following that, we'll be back here midnight UK time for Doing the Most, which is the Premier League show. And then you'll probably get clubs, people. You probably get a couple different sessions of clubs. Probably get the A-side and OGs as well. But big up to everyone who has locked in. Make sure you put in, what are you going to put in Lewis's chat? Put Chelsea are 11th in his chat. That's what I need you lot to do in capital letters. Chelsea are 11th. But big up. Love to everyone that's locked in. This has been the Mandem United podcast live on the Sarcasm City TV YouTube. Big up.